This is Melissa, and today is the 24th of August, 2025, and I hope you're all doing well. I was communicating back and forth with Nick Hayes from Hayes Reviews yesterday, and he sent something. He had been trolled, or it could have been part of a larger attack on him a while back, but someone had sent him this message. I want to let you know that you're demon-possessed. You have Satan's angels living directly in your body. They inspire you, write your material, videos, and can seize control of your body as well as your vocal cords. They can cause you to move and say things through your mouth so that it appears that you are willfully speaking. It's a supernatural thing to be able to have a, quote, stream of consciousness, end quote, where you can talk for hours with no script. Do you really think it's you that's talking in your videos? It's not you. It's the demons that are inside of you talking out of your mouth. Then they sent a whole long list of signs that someone was demon-possessed. It went on and on and on, this whole thread. So he wanted him to, this person wanted him to repent and become born again, and the demons would be cast out. And so anyway, that was what I received from Nick, and it made me laugh. It was, you know, the idea was, if you can speak without a script, then you must be demon-possessed. I heard from someone today that Jonathan Cooey at Gigaome Biological had a bit of what it just would appear that people don't want him talking about what he's talking about. And he said even people that were happy for a while for him to talk about something kind of changed tack. Like, he said, I have a very small platform. I don't have that many subscribers and followers, but obviously I'm touching a nerve somewhere. I'm saying something that people don't want me to say. And I have discovered in my experiences with Alan Watt that if you're really touching on truth, if you're driving home some important points that no one else out there is talking about, chances are you could get hammered, because that is the way this information grid is structured. It's authorized voices only. And then there's another tier where all of the people who are cookie cutter kind of takeoffs on whoever is out there that's authorized. They use the same kind of format, the style, even the same backdrops or sets, and they talk on the same topics. And this is one thing that I notice, is that a lot of people talk on the same topic at the same time. And so there's either it's in the water, or there's an element of coordination there. And that includes people who appear on the surface to be alternative. That's interesting. And this morning, I went back in time in my mind. I was thinking about a woman that I was good friends with for a number of years, who was a graphic designer. And she was hired by a company, a large company that is known the world over, but not at a certain point in her career, not to do graphic design, but to study trends. And this was in the very early days of the internet. It was quite crude. So she actually traveled around the world. And of course, she looked at other things that think tanks had put together about trends. But she also went to Paris and London and New York and Delhi. You know, she traveled around the world and studied trends across the board. I mean, it sounded like a pretty amazing job if you like to travel. And that studying of trends. It's not like anything that she ever studied went into a product like, oh, you could see that, but it shaped all of the products in a way. It informed everything that the company was making by appearing to always be on the cutting edge, always know what was going on. And of course, there's an element there that they're setting the trends too. And I see that in, I don't have an opportunity to listen to a lot, but I do try because I like to hear a little bit of what other people are thinking or read a bit. It's just a way of gauging or putting your finger to the wind, if you will. And one thing that I have noticed lately is that a lot of people are talking about Gnosticism and showing how such and such or this or that, this person speaking is a Gnostic and this approach is Gnosticism. The person who is exposing the Gnosticism or in some cases the occult, there's always a kind of an underpinning of, well, the person might be coming from the what used to be called the Patriot, it would now be maybe conservative or libertarian, but it's got an underpinning of Christianity, but it isn't really Christianity. And because what is that? It's a word like democracy, where it's very plastic. What is your church that you go to? What are the tenets that you believe, and so forth and so on? But I have thought a lot since Operation C in the last few years about not always crying controlled opposition, or not, it was so easy to do at the beginning of Operation C. It really was. And I did take a swipe in some writing at the horse breeder. And, you know, as it was low-hanging fruit because, you know, some things are obvious, some things should be obvious. But over time, even probably at some point in late 22 or early 2023, I asked myself the question, how is this productive? How is this helpful? Because most people are going to believe what they have already decided that they want to believe. And so it's better to stick with what your own ideas are, what, you know, what I think, what I have researched, what I am interested in, seems to me to be a more productive share than pointing a finger and saying, this person's not getting it right. And as I've talked about information overload a lot in the last few weeks, I saw this that came into my inbox. I'm not going to read it. I'm going to read very little today and try to keep this short. But this was from the New York Times, and it was called Revenge of the Followers, an emerging genre of video collapses the boundaries between celebrities and their audiences. And it is interesting. So I'm going to post that because it is the blurring of the public and the private spaces, and it's the blurring of fact and fiction. And so interesting. And hyperreality came to mind. And hyperreality it's a concept out of philosophy, but it is confusion. It's when people become confused about the meaning of the signs and symbols that they're looking at. There's no longer a consensus, and it's a place where what is real and what is fictional are blended together. They just flow together. There's no longer a distinction. And I thought about a documentary from Adam Curtis that we watched a few years ago. And I'll have to say that his hypernormalization was not amongst, you know, my most favorite of his work, but it is interesting. And here's a little description on that. It argues that following the global economic crises of the 1970s, governments, financiers, and technological utopians gave up on trying to shape the complex real world and instead established a simpler fake world for the benefit of multinational corporations that is kept stable by neoliberal governments. The word hypernormalization was coined by Alexei Yurchak, a professor of anthropology who was born in Leningrad and went on to teach at the University of California, Berkeley. He described the paradoxes of Soviet life during the 1970s and 1980s. He says everyone in the Soviet Union knew the system was failing, but no one could imagine any alternative to the status quo, and politicians and citizens alike were resigned to maintaining the pretense of a functioning society. Over time, the mass delusion became a self-fulfilling prophecy, with everyone accepting it as the new norm rather than pretend, an effect Yurchak termed hypernormalization. And I don't know if that's up for free viewing anywhere, but I'll at least give you the wiki page and you can check that out. So in trend watching, so I said there, I'm hearing a lot of talking heads on the not authorized media, but in the plane in which maybe I exist on the fringes or Alan would exist on the fringes, where it's the attack of Gnosticism or the mentioning of this and that construct that is overlaid on what might be real reality. And these things are offered as a way of explaining where we find ourselves. I find some of it interesting if I'm in the right mood to listen to any one of a number of people talk about things that are almost occultic. I can be fascinated, and I can find it an interesting thing to plug in there somewhere that complements something else that I already know or think I know. But sometimes the end result is just the feeling of overwhelm, of information overload. And I think that this is actually by design. I had just seen that from Nick Hayes when I then today went into my inbox and saw that James Dellingpole had posted an article on Substack. And again, I will link that for you to look at. But the title of the article was, Are Parasites Demons? Again, I'll post it for you to read. But at a certain point near the beginning of the article, he was talking about something that he did that with a guest of his that wasn't particularly warm and hospitable. And then he later said, he grudgingly said, you know, he was still hyped up at the time, but he kind of grudgingly apologized and said, I don't know what got into me, something like that. And he wrote, think about that phrase for a moment. We all use it all the time. It's so culturally embedded that we've long ceased to consider its underlying meaning. But what it tacitly acknowledges is the possibility that there exist entities which are capable of entering you and changing your behavior in a bad way. It's a linguistic hangover from the pre-Enlightenment years when people believed in evil spirits. I still do. Like my recent-ish podcast guests, Reverend Jamie Franklin, I'm very much of the view that the Enlightenment was, in fact, another of the enemy's psyops. And I will interject and say, I think so too. This one, to create a culture in which Christian belief was rendered almost untenable because, hey, it had been proved wrong by the rationalism and empiricism of science. Franklin says of the modern age, there is a sense that we all, Christian or otherwise, have a problem with belief in the supernatural, that it strikes us at a deep level as somewhat far-fetched. So I'll post that, and I was thinking when I saw the article, I was reminded of a little message that I received from James Dellingpole a while back saying, when he saw that I'd gone on Substack with Cutting Through the Matrix, he said it was such a pity that he never got to talk or interview Alan Watt. And it was a pity because Alan Watt really liked James Dellingpole's work. And in the beginning, when Alan became familiar with his work, it was because of the writing that James Dellingpole was doing for larger, what you might call authorized media papers, such as the Daily Mail and the Daily Express, Times, Daily Telegraph, The Spectator, and so forth. But here's where Dellingpole went wrong. According to Wiki, Dellingpole has repeatedly promoted climate change denial. And therefore, Alan Watt definitely linked to him quite a few times. The redux that I chose to bring you today is Alan Watt live on RBN, October 15, 2008. Reality versus Magical Mystery Tour. Citizenry Psyops Operation, People in Tizzy of Disinformation, Truth of Which They Ne'er Possess, Conflicting Data They Can't Process, Fact and Fantasy All Bound Together, Re, The Belief, Ligion, The Fetter, Round in Circles, All Amazed, Under Mind Control They Must Be Dazed, Psychological Warfare, To Have Success, The Victims' Minds They Must Possess. Until they find they're all alone, Truth is knocking, but no one's home. In this episode, Alan is talking about how the New Age mixed in. There's a word now that's been coined quite some time now, more than a decade, called conspirituality. And I have written about it in my voice, not sure, quite a bit. But it is a blending. It's not adequate to call the New Age, they're into crystals or on the fringe kind of things that they talked about, I do numerology, whatever. It's more than that because it is a reshaping of your mind, and that had to go hand in hand. I was thinking of it this morning as a dialectic. Let's just take only Christianity and then put it up against the New Age movement. This is a dialectic, because at the end of every age, as Alan Watt has told us repeatedly, it's a phasing out of the old religions and a bringing in of the new. So neither Christianity in its form of whenever, pick an era, nor the New Age as we know it now, go in to the real New Age. There will be something else, and that is the synthesis. But Alan said about people, they don't like reality, they don't like truth, and it's very true. If you've been living in the la-la land of indoctrination and fantasy, you get a big shock when you see the truth and the magnitude of it all. Skipping just a little bit, he said, these things, the junk is deliberately put out there to confuse them. It's the New Age movement combined with the Patriot movement, and that's no accident, because it makes it all irrelevant. It makes it all very silly when you mix aliens and various other creatures that used to adorn women's purses or their feet into the whole Patriot movement, or it's all written in the stars kind of stuff. But again, people have the right to choose how they want to be deluded, and it's much better to be entertained while you're being deluded. And I will say there that the "it's all written in the stars" is very similar, is it not, to prophecy. Again, talking about the dialectic, it's prophecy or it's written in the stars. Going on a little bit, a few minutes later, he's talking about the CFR and the Royal Institute of International Affairs, and he said it's no accident that all of these people came out to confuse you. You see, they created the whole New Age movement and bombarded us with sci-fi until we can't tell the difference between reality and fiction. People are sitting ducks, you see, for disinfo experts to come out into society. So I have attended the last two live streams that Nick Hayes did on Zbigniew Brzezinski's Between Two Ages. And I've really enjoyed it, and I want to try to commit to being there for all of them. Plus, he also has a membership thing he's doing midweek, and he's halfway through already the Club of Rome's The First Global Revolution. But I would like to be involved in that too. As he pointed out, they are complementary books. But it reminded me, I told Nick that I had a copy that it had a few, yes, of Alan's markups, but it actually had a lot of my own markups, particularly where I had marked a place in red pen telling Alan to start reading at a certain point and stop reading at another point. And this would have been the first stream of Nick's that I missed. This is on page 14 of my copy. Lead up to this is when Brzezinski's writing about how quickly it is making us adapt to constant change. So this is where I marked for Alan's start. Eventually, these changes and many others, including some that more directly affect the personality and quality of the human being himself, will make the technotronic society as different from the industrial as the industrial was from the agrarian. And just as the shift from an agrarian economy and feudal politics toward an industrial society and political systems based on the individual's emotional identification with the nation-state gave rise to contemporary international politics, so the appearance of the technotronic society reflects the onset of a new relationship between man and his expanded global reality. So this next section, subsection, he entitled Social Explosion Implosion. This new relationship is a tense one. Man has still to define it conceptually and thereby render it comprehensible to himself. Our expanded global reality is simultaneously fragmenting and thrusting itself upon us. The result of the coincident explosion and implosion is not only insecurity and tension, but also an entirely novel perception of what many still call international affairs. Life seems to lack cohesion as environment rapidly alters and human beings become increasingly manipulable and malleable. Everything seems more transitory and temporary. External reality more fluid than solid, the human being more synthetic than authentic. Even our senses perceive an entirely novel reality, one of our own making, but nevertheless in terms of our sensations, quite, quote, real, end quote. More important, there is already widespread concern about the possibility of biological and chemical tampering with what has until now been considered the immutable essence of man. Human conduct, some argue, can be predetermined and subjected to deliberate control. Man is increasingly acquiring the capacity to determine the sex of his children, to affect, through drugs, the extent of their intelligence, and to modify and control their own personalities. Speaking of a future at most only decades away, an experimenter in intelligence control asserted, "I foresee the time when we shall have the means and therefore inevitably the temptation to manipulate the behavior and intellectual functioning of all the people through environmental and biochemical manipulation of the brain." Thus, it is an open question whether technology and science will in fact increase the options open to the individual. Under the headline, study terms technology a boon to individualism, the New York Times reported the preliminary conclusions of a Harvard project on the social significance of science. Its participants were quoted as concluding that most Americans have a greater range of personal choice, wider experience, and a more highly developed sense of self-worth than ever before. Brzezinski writes after that quote, "This may be so, but a judgment of this sort rests essentially on an intuitive and comparative insight into the present and past states of minds of Americans." In this connection, a word of warning from an acute observer is highly relevant. It behooves us to examine carefully the degree of validity as measured by actual behavior of the statement that a benefit of technology will be to increase the number of options and alternatives the individual can choose from. In principle, it could. In fact, the individual may use any number of psychological devices to avoid the discomfort of information overload, and thereby keep the range of alternatives to which he responds much narrower than that which technology in principle makes available to him. I would say, information silo, anyone? In other words, the real questions are how the individual will exploit the options, to what extent he will be intellectually and psychologically prepared to exploit them, and in what way society as a whole will create a favorable setting for taking advantage of these options. Their availability is not of itself proof of a greater sense of freedom or self-worth. The part that I had marked off to read, for Alan to read, went on for another page, and I noticed as I was reading through that this morning that even the page following that was well worth taking in. But I have tried to commit myself to making these intros just a wee bit smaller or a wee bit weir. So for me personally, I don't have a need to tell you, oh, stay away from this or stay away from that or this is doing that, because then I'm part of the problem, am I not? And as I said in my real history the other day, you do you. But the information overload is a reality, and sometimes just, you know, a walk in the neighborhood or petting a dog or a cat or going outside and looking up at the moon or calling your favorite friend or you know, like I say, there's any number of things that you can do that break the spell of technology. And before I go, I thank you for your support. I remind you that I have all sorts of Alan's material available for your purchase and enjoyment. Of course, there'll always be the free downloads of the audio. But when you subscribe to Substack or purchase his books and discs and flash drives, you're helping me keep going, and I really appreciate it. And by the by, I am catching up on a recent backlog of emails and letters, so I'm diligently working away at that. Take care. There's a code of silence, and it can't go on.
Hi, folks. I'm Alan Watt, and this is Cutting Through the Matrix on the 15th of October, 2008. I always advise newcomers to go into cuttingthroughthematrix.com website, where you can download, oh, I don't know how many talks I've given in the past, which cover a lot of the pertinent areas of this big, grand New World Order system that's not just coming into view, it's here. And I try and show you how it's been done, who's behind it, the big organizations, and that's the key to everything is organization, and how they have planned to bring in their brave new worlds, and over the course of maybe a generation or so, they'll bring the populations down. But in the meantime, they're militarizing society, and they plan to use the children of the sheep at the bottom. They have no problem recruiting them, generally, especially when they flood them with so much violence in the movies, where you can't tell who's bad, who's good. The guy who wins is the good guy, using all the big weaponry at his command. And the children just love that stuff. And being children, they grow up to be older children, never adults, and then they join the military and go off and fight the wars, where they never benefit at the end. And generally, it's for the worst, actually, afterwards. So we work this big agenda into reality for those who plan it. We do it willingly, in fact, unfortunately. And perhaps that's the key to it all. Also look into Alan Watt's sentinel.eu, where you can download transcripts done in the various languages of Europe. And I should tell people, too, that they can go into my website and they can buy books, CDs and DVDs, or they can donate to me as well. And it's on the website how to do it. And I know that thousands upon thousands of people listen to my stuff. In fact, generally, you'll find a lot of talk show hosts will repeat what I say a day or two later. It's been that way for years. But you know, there's about a handful of people ever contribute anything to me. The same people over and over. And even today, I was pondering the whole thing of, is this really worth doing? Because a lot of the people too, I get hundreds or thousands of emails coming in here, and it's from people who don't contribute anything, and they're either praising you, which is fine, but praise is cheap, and or else they're condemning you for giving them the bad news. They don't like reality, they don't like truth. And it's very true, if you've been living in the la-la land of indoctrination and fantasy, you get a big shock when you see the truth and the magnitude of it all. But there's also thousands of people out there, too, who will subscribe to other shows, money-wise, to all the junk that's out there, that deliberately out there to confuse them in the New Age movement combined with the Patriot movement. And that's no accident, because it makes it all irrelevant. It makes it all very silly when you mix aliens and various other creatures that used to adorn women's purses or their feet into the whole Patriot movement, or it's all written in the stars kind of stuff. But again, people have the right to choose how they want to be deluded, and it's much better to be entertained while you're being deluded, it seems. And I've been toying with the idea of subscription, because I do not live here on fresh air. not that you can get fresh air, because I'm at the top of the jet stream loop, and this is where the heavy, heavy spraying comes in. And I'll be back with more of this after these messages. Hi folks, I am Alan Watt. This is Cutting Through the Matrix. And what is the Matrix? The Matrix is the fake reality that's promulgated by the media and by the entertainment industry, the education system, and all of the intelligence departments and PR, which are attached to every single government body. You don't realize that almost all information that's given out to the public is given out by public relations specialists. And the reason they're there is because, you see, all these organizations and departments of government have their agendas set in stone. And their job is to try and get you into an idea who will be on board for whatever plans they have coming up ahead, and to do it in the most genteel, innocuous way. That's their job. And just this weekend, I read a report from basically the signals outfit in Britain, where they talk about how they manage the media. All Department of Defense propaganda is managed by basically a regiment. And they decide what you're going to know or think or believe. And they can all be very different things, each one of those. They actually talk about how the whole UK population is their target. And then they go on to their overseas targets. So about all overseas media. And they tell their own staff how to get in touch with reporters and get them on board. And editors apparently comply very well. No wonder most of them are in the CFR or the Royal Institute of International Affairs, which is one and the same thing. And they talk about how to secure their target, just like any military operation, and how they must always try and subvert opinion, basically subvert it, and how they subvert any opposite opinion in any media across the world. It's a how-to book on sabotage of media. And yet most people still believe that what's on television or comes through the newspapers must be true. That's how naive they are. As I say, but no wonder, because they're so mind-bombed by what they think is the counter to all this, the truth movement, and all of its aspects, where you bring in the advocates and the devotees of the New Age, till everything's mixed together, and it becomes totally confusing. And it's no accident that there are people out there that are set out there to confuse you. You see, they created the whole New Age movement and bombarded us with sci-fi until we can't tell the difference between reality and fiction. So people are sitting ducks, you see, for disinfo experts to come out into society. And after reading the Department of, say, of the Defense for Britain and NATO on how they do this kind of stuff, it only confirms what I already know. The people are targeted. A couple of weeks ago, I read a document which stated quite openly that the general public have no ability to reason for themselves. They can't discern what they're reading. They cannot discern truth in data and information. They know this because, you see, they've worked on our minds our whole lives long. This is not by chance. This is part of strategy. And we think as individuals on small levels what we can influence in our own life. And the magnitude of the cooperation between all of these specialized departments that give us a reality, this scientifically indoctrinated reality, the very type that Aldous Huxley talked about, it's come to be. It's here. And It's held together by the cooperation of the mainstream press. It's held together in its confusion, deliberate confusion, by all the disinfo specialists that are promoted out there. But most of all, it's like the movie Chicago, where the characters who were jailbirds all through the movie and are now very famous and rich come out and say to the public, an audience, we couldn't have done it without you. We couldn't do it without the general public, the approval of those who like to be fascinated and entertained. And that's what we have now. We have people running in circles from New Age book to New Age book to New Age book. And all the old nonsensical books that were churned out in the late 1800s by the Rosicrucians that were meant to stupefy the people are all recirculated and reprinted. And they're all very fascinating if you want to go into that realm. But you see, you have to go much, much further and look at the stark reality of what really is coming your way and who's doing it. And it's easy to find who's doing it because every think tank, every network, every organization with its mandate is up on the internet. And they do publish their mandates. The United Nations publishes their mandates. The UN publishes every group that's affiliated with it. And you go into their world meetings and they publicize what they want to do. In the 70s, the UN had a document out in a massive world meeting on a new economic order. And you think it's just happening today. And it's shocking when you find out that I'm even telling you this, because for years you've been chasing rainbows and spacemen and trying to find out the stars really do tell you the future. I keep telling people, if you want to believe in that kind of stuff, train your children to design their own constellations, because you can make anything up that you wish. That way, perhaps, you go towards your own programmed destiny that you created for yourself. But people love to be titillated and they love to be carried off into fantasy. So you have all these people chasing the wrong things, absolute fictional creations by intelligence services. And when they're doing that, they're not watching what's going on. They're not even indignant to what's happening to them personally. Until the boot knocks down their door, that's when they object. But in the meantime, they go along with pretty well anything. And that's what Zbigniew Brzezinski said himself. He said that a technique was coming and being used on the public where they will never guess that all their opinions, and he meant too, all those things you believe in, will be downloaded into you. The people have no indignancy as to what's happening. They're made to feel powerless, and they don't even realize that none of these organizations could make policy that affects them, including their own governments, without their passive cooperation. And they keep shouting, what will we do? What will we do? There are a few people over the years who have emailed the government and told them, but they do not back any of these agendas. And they're not afraid to put their names down in the letters. Everyone else who's terrified and scared looks for leaders. The leaders are supplied to you. And they'll keep you in circles until the end of time. But the last thing you'll want to do is do something yourself, because you're scared. You'd rather have the Western where the good guy drives into town on his horse, gets off it and shoots all the bad guys, pats you on the head, gives you ice cream cones, and lets you play again in the little fantasia world. That's the reality of life. And that's the reality that's discussed at top think tanks, where all kinds of strategy, including military strategy, controls your media. It's not nice to know, but it's the truth. Once in a while, I do get people who say, you must be part of this. You know too much. So knowing too much scares those people who haven't looked into anything. They probably watch the sports every weekend, though. I've been doing other things with my whole life long. They find out what was going on. You get other ones who ask me what to do about it. And you see, here's the problem. Why is it that everyone has to ask what to do? It tells you that they're not used to making decisions themselves. Something else the elite know. How far can they go to humiliate you? Totalitarianism, as it's never been done on a scale on this planet before, is happening right now. And the people are running in circles and reading junky old books that are liberally put out there to cause the kind of confusion that is happening in their own minds. Because this is a battle for the mind. And it's taken very seriously at the top with PSYOPs operations, in conjunction, as I say, with signals operations, the NSA and every other agency on this planet working together to make sure that you will never have a mind of your own. And I know all of those ones out there too, who do contribute and subscribe to certain shows, that like Red Eyes and so on. Well, good luck with your brains. You have a lot of unscrambling to do. Back after this break with more. Just letting off some steam here, because I say nothing comes in here much, and thousands listen. Thousands who do listen and subscribe to podcasts even, and like their entertainment, and that's very fine and well. That is their decision. That's their right to do so. I used to say back in the 70s, when I watched people falling off the stage with LSD, I used to say, what's their right to scramble their brains and damage it? And I don't mind at all, as long as it doesn't become my problem. In other words, their problem becomes mine. It's a different story. And you gotta understand out there too, there's a lot of unstable people. They show their instability by their rants and their raves. One recently called me a communist, apparently, and told people not to donate any money to me. But how far can psychosis go? There's lots of them out there. They can't handle the bad news. The bad news is definitely overwhelming. And a lot of them who are into the New Age are finding that their New Age beliefs aren't enough to keep them intact. They're scared and they're frightened, and so they lash out at people. And that's what people generally do. They like to behead, like to kill the bearer of bad news. I don't see myself as out there entertaining people. I'm not doing entertainment. It certainly is not a business, believe you me. But when you mix entertainment with the truth, you're already in a fictional world. I hope people realize that. And I could certainly tell you a lot more about the occult that's been preached out there, because I've studied my whole life long. I know it from back to front, up and down. And I could fascinate you forever, and you'd probably throw money at me because you do like to be entertained. But I won't do it. I'll leave that to the entertainers. Here's an article here from the BBC News. And what they're doing is militarizing the youth in Britain. So the Prime Minister here, Brown, backs more school cadets. Government review will recommend more state school pupils be encouraged to sign up for military cadet training. It's been reported. Now this ties in with a couple of articles I read about 2 months ago from an ex-admiral who worked in intelligence for Britain, who became a school teacher as well, and who advocated the same thing. And the reason it won't go away is because it's a mandate. It's already on the cards, it's drafted up, it's written out, and it will be made to come, to be made to pass through. It says here, a civil and military relations review will suggest it could improve attitudes towards armed forces and discipline. MP Quinton Davis, who headed the review, told The Observer the Prime Minister was very keen on using the cadets more. Tory leader David Cameron, who suggested a citizen service for all 16-year-olds, said it was a good idea. I told you years ago this would happen because Hitler did it, the young communists did it too. Every tyrant in history has done the same thing. Only this is to be worldwide. It won't be just Britain. It means all the Commonwealth countries as well. And I have no doubt the US will follow suit. Says Mr. Davies, a former Tory MP who defected to Labour last year. In Britain, they walk across the floor, they call it, from left wing to right wing when it suits them, because it's all a farce anyway. He says, he told Observer newspaper, the Prime Minister is very, very keen on the opportunities represented by cadet forces. He added, we will be making a number of recommendations to increase the use of the superb national asset. The people are the asset. There are only 60 cadet forces in comprehensive, that's the low-class schools, the public schools in Britain. It says in England and Wales, compared with 200 in grammar, that's the ones you pay for, the schools that you pay for, because that turns out the officers, you see, those that Margaret Thatcher said will lead the country. And it says, last month, teachers voted to oppose military recruitment activities in schools if they employ misleading propaganda. On Monday, the Conservatives will outline some of the policies they would pursue in government to improve school discipline. Asked about the cadet force policy later, and where he thought it was similar to his own calls for a national voluntary six-week program for all 16-year-olds, party leader David Cameron said, it's good there's a free market in ideas. That's how politicians answer. Politicians don't answer any question directly. They're told, and they're actually taught this, they're actually taught to answer the question as though it was the question they would like to have been asked. He said he was not calling for a return to compulsory national service, that's conscription, but wanted a scheme in which every 16-year-old took part in community service, which is conscription. He added, what the Prime Minister seems to be talking about, extending the cadet force, I think is a very good idea. And it is a good idea if you want to militarize society for this 100 years war, you see. You get them in young, and they just graduate right into the army. Mr. Davis said the review was also looking at encouraging the wearing of military uniform by off-duty troops. This is another big thing that this must be. They want to see is the troops in amongst us, you see, until we become used to them, very used to them. This is all strategy. There's a definite move back in that direction, and there is overwhelming support within the military for this. Well, of course there is. It's those guys that pushed it. He also said to be calling for a re-examination of the way that the military is portrayed in the school's curriculum. And I'll go through this. It's quite interesting after this break. Hi folks, I'm Alan Watt. We're cutting through the matrix and I'm explaining from the BBC that the government is going after the children. They might as well do something with them. That's their attitude basically. Because you see, they've created a society where there is no discipline, and they said they would do this, mind you, many, many years ago. The state would give their values to the child. We see the outcome in that everywhere. We also saw the massive onslaught on parental discipline by all the various NGOs and agencies that said that your child's a little adult, let them do as they wish. Mr. Spock was the first one they put out there to do this. And at the end of his life, he says, we've raised a nation of young psychopaths. But that was his job, because people can't think for themselves. Same thing that Bertrand Russell says. He says, eventually people will be unable to do anything by themselves. They have to ask an expert who tells them how to even change a child's diaper. Well, see, all that's happened. They've taken away people's ability to decide anything for themselves. and create the society they knew they would create, where the children are literally separated totally mentally from the parents. They don't communicate, and they've been indoctrinated into groupthink through the school system. They've also been flooded with drugs from the 60s onwards. That was another part of the strategy to destroy all the old system. You must do that to bring in the new. So here's another article here, and it ties in again with this part about training them in the schools, train the children from the schools. Retrain ex-troops, as army troops, military troops, as teachers. Ex-servicemen and women should be retrained as teachers to bring military-style discipline to tough inner-city schools. A think tank, has said. The government is being urged to adopt a U.S.-style program returning former soldiers, sailors, and airmen to school. The Center for Policy Studies, you know, we've heard of them before, haven't we, says ex-soldiers could have a profound effect on discipline and learning. The Conservatives are backing the idea. Well, of course they are, because they're no different from the other side, saying children need order and role models for self-discipline. That is true, now that they've done away with fathers. A report by a think tank says the fact that the ex-soldiers had a macho image could help engender respect, particularly among boys, because that's all they've seen in their video games. The big hulking guy with the biggest gun wins. The troops to teachers. That also means that means students to soldiers, I guess. The troops to teachers program in the U.S. retrains soldiers with a minimum of 10 years experience and a degree as a police certified teacher. Those with lower qualifications are retrained as vocational teachers. Some 16,000 service personnel have qualified as teachers since T3 was set up in the U.S. in 1994. Whether we like it or not, children from more deprived neighborhoods often respond to raw physical power. Raw physical power. And you know what that means, you see, because years ago they discussed recruiting basically the junkies and the gang members from some of these cities into the military, and it has been done for the last few years. That's what they were after in the first place. And again, the Center for Policy Studies report said that their program had been an outstanding success, with some 88% remaining in the profession 3 years after they qualified. This compared to the usual retention rate for teachers in the U.S. of 50% after 5 years. The report suggested ex-servicemen could have a particularly strong effect on discipline and learning. This is not merely because ex-servicemen are sure of their own moral authority. I guess you get moral authority, you get morality when you go into the military. It's all that blood and gut stuff. It gives you morality. You see, they're not intimidated by adrenaline-fueled adolescence. They have, unlike most teachers, been there before. Well, you see, all teachers get full of adrenaline. It's just that they can't do anything because they're terrified to do anything. You see, but I guess the military guys are different. They'll be able to handle physically any problems, because after all, it's, well, military, isn't it? It's also argued that the perception that these teachers had been in a macho profession would be well received by inner-city children. This is Chief of Defense Staff Lord Guthrie said knife crime, drugs, and violence were reported daily in the inner cities. Have you watched what the media and the entertainment industry have given these children to grow up on? Have you watched the Slaughter and Guts movies? How come they never say anything about Hollywood? Well, it's because, see, Hollywood was chosen at a world meeting in Britain back in the 60s, held by the Royal Institute of International Affairs, to guide the world's future through entertainment, and that would create the culture of the future. It was all over the newspapers at that time. And that's why they'll never, ever report on what's coming out of Hollywood. Their job is to report the effects on society. So that's one article. You can read all the rest of it for yourselves. But there's no magic in there, unfortunately. So if you look for magic or prophets to come along, I'm afraid I don't have them here tonight. And here is one from Melbourne, Australia, on the next part of the abuse system on people who will take it quite calmly. They're getting very physically fit now. They can bend down and touch their toes, whenever they're told. It says here, this is October 15th, scanners being tested at Melbourne Airport will not blur the genitals of passengers. In other words, they can see right through, you can see everything there. It says domestic travelers leading Melbourne Airport over the next 6 weeks will be asked to test new security scanners that can see through clothing. It's a body scanner trial, and an initiative, of course, is there's voluntary testing, but if you don't go through it, they have to, you know, give you a rub down, a pat down. They have special people for that who have been raised, who like patting people down of various genders. It says here, transport security authorities are trialing a new X-ray backscatter body scanner, which has been described by critics as a virtual strip search. The scanner uses a low-energy X-ray. X-rays, you see, it's interesting about X-rays because, you see, each X-ray is accumulative in the body. The radiation is accumulative in the body, but they're not telling you that here. And there's no safe level of X-ray. That's still to be decided. They're finding, for instance, that some children who are X-rayed frequently in Canada for different things, generally bone problems, have all ended up with massive cancers. But they won't tell you, as you're paying your money to get to that business deal on the aircraft, that make hay while the sun shines, because tomorrow you crumble as your bones fall apart. It says here they're using this to reveal any objects, metal or otherwise, under a person's clothing, including body features. The testing will be entirely voluntary during the trial, which is being undertaken to test how the new scanners would affect the flow of passengers through the security point. Well, I'll tell you how. You know they're going to go through it. It does see through clothing, but it's not a photographic image. It's a low-energy X-ray. That makes me feel all better. That reflects off the skin, said Cheryl Johnson, general manager of the Office of Transport Security. It will show the private parts of people. But what we've decided is that we're not going to blur those out because it severely limits the detection capabilities. In other words, they can't get a good giggle. You don't have a good giggle, you see, when you're a pervert employed to watch people and to see their genitals. It's possible to see genitals and breasts while they're going through the machine, though. However, Ms. Johnson, who, of course, is a PR spokesperson, to spin a lie, that's her job, said there were a number of measures in place to tackle concerns about privacy. The faces are automatically blurred, and it's only a chalk-style outline. It's not as invasive as some of our other equipment that we've got. Ha, ha, ha. I wonder if they'll retain her because she's got a loose mouth there. Doesn't think too much, does she? The security officer that's looking at it is located away from the screening lane, so there's no comparison of the person walking through and the image. The images are not saved. You literally walk through. The screener hits a button to say clear, and the image goes. And what's interesting, too, is that the reason they're given these days for in every country for what they do to you, well, you know, the U.S. has got it, or Britain's got it, so that's okay then. If someone, they're still beheading people down in Borneo. Does that mean that we should do it too? You see, here's the trick of psychology they use on the populace in every blurb they give out to the media. And Ms. Johnson said these were a direct response to an alleged terrorist plot in 2006 to detonate liquid explosives on board containers or airliners. And that's all I need to tell you today, because everything comes under security. Everything is security. Even taking your children and putting them up in fatigues is to do with security and discipline. And psychopaths love discipline. They love uniforms. They love them. And they love chains of command. You see, the psychopath who is sadomasochistic will worship the one above and despise those below. This article here is from the Wall Street Journal, October the 1st. It's amazing what comes through as they keep you busy about this pre-planned meltdown of the economy, which is only get the new system in place so the government can literally come into you, down to you and your bank account, and demand to know what you're buying, why you're buying this, and tell you not to buy it. And it also gives them a footprint right into your bank account to withdraw taxes for carbon footprints and all that kind of stuff. You see, that's the real agenda here. It also pushes the next part of the GATT treaty, where the richer countries fund the poorer countries. directly through carbon taxes and all the rest of it. Carbon taxes. Another religion. So they say, Wall Street Journal, October 1st, 2008, satellite surveillance program to begin despite privacy concerns. Who cares about privacy concerns? We don't have any privacy. By Sobhan Gorman. Washington, the Department of Homeland Security will proceed with the first phase of a controversial satellite surveillance program, even though an independent review found the department hasn't yet ensured the program will comply with privacy laws. Congress provided partial funding for the program and a little debated, that means it's all pre-planned, you see, little debated, $634 billion. A country that's broke is going to spend this for this, you see, spending measure that will fund the government until early March. For the past year, the Bush administration had been fighting Democratic lawmakers over the spy program known as the National Applications Office. That sounds so innocent, doesn't it? National Applications Office. The program is designed to provide federal, state, and local officials with extensive access to spy satellite imagery. But no eavesdropping, it says. Oh, that'll be a different bill. That would be a different bill. To assist with emergency response and other domestic security needs, such as identifying where ports or border areas are vulnerable to terrorism. What a joke. Since the department proposed the program a year ago, several Democratic lawmakers have said that turning the spy lens on America could violate Americans' privacy and civil liberties unless adequate safeguards were required. Well, there ain't going to be any adequate safeguards. The whole point is to make sure that all these agencies can use these satellites and watch you. A new 60-page Government Accountability Office report said the department lacks assurance that NAO operations will comply with applicable laws on privacy and civil liberty standards. According to a person familiar with the document, the report, which is unclassified but considered sensitive, hasn't been publicly released, but was described and quoted by several people who have read it. So you can get second-hand reports because it's available to the public, but it's not released to them yet, and it's sensitive. The report cites gaps in privacy safeguards. The department it found lacks control to prevent improper use of domestic intelligence data by other agencies and provided insufficient assurance that requests for classified information will be fully reviewed to ensure it can be legally provided. Well, you see, it's all null and void, all that privacy stuff, because pretty well everything in the U.S. is under Homeland Security. That's down to your police, your local police, your post office even is under Homeland Security. The nurse in the hospital is under Homeland Security. And that case, they can all have access to it. A senior Homeland Security official took issue with the GAO's broad conclusion, saying the department has worked hard to include many layers of privacy protection. Program activities have an unprecedented amount of legal review, he said, adding that the GAO is seeking a level of proof that can't be demonstrated until the program is launched. And you know what they say about launching programs, there's no turning back, eh? Homeland Security spokeswoman and PR, you see, public relations, Laura Keener, said department officials concluded that the program complies with all existing laws. Probably does, because, you see, they've given themselves the right to do all this through laws. Because the GEO report didn't say the program doesn't. I can't read any more of this because we're living in a tragic comedy. The world is literally a tragic comedy. And as I say, people can't tell fact from fiction, and they cannot discern information that flows to them, because we're all run by specialized departments. Knowledge is power. The last thing you give your target is power and knowledge. The last thing. There's no point in giving it at all. So we're dealing, as I say, with a Disneyland. A Disneyland that very few people will come through intact mentally. That's part of the idea, is to create an alternate reality. I've read all these documents before to the public. And most people are in this alternate reality, or one of the variations thereof, depending on their own little hobbies, whether it's New Agey, channeling spirits, reading the stars, or looking for reptiles who tend to stand vertically and shapeshift before they drink blood of people. And all of that utter nonsense that people soak up and cannot get enough of. This is from FT.com, the Financial Times. An exit strategy published October 15, 2008. Governments may hold ordinary shares, but they will never be ordinary shareholders. Public recapitalization is a vital part of the solution to the banking crisis, but the two-tier part nationalizing banking system it creates carries its own problems, and it may be a lasting legacy. The Swedish government has yet to sell off the stakes it took following its 1992 banking crisis. Some problems of public ownership seem insurmountable. Governments must insist that they will recover their investments, and help must initially be offered on terms that will make it preferable to seek private sector support. And I will finish this article after this break. Hi, folks. I'm Alan Watt, cutting through the matrix. I was going through an article from the Financial Times, which points out some of the obvious things, but think about it. Just think about this whole gambling casino, this big roulette table. They call it the stock market. They call it the stock market, by the way, because market means animals, and the stock are the animals. That's farming terminology. The big boys who rig the system and who run it from the beginning hold all the commanding shares, but all the up-and-coming greedy ones, the low-level psychopaths that want to get in the act, follow the big boys and always lose their shirts. But unfortunately, here they go, the taxpayer of the world has to bail them out, you see. Why should we bail out other people's addictions, gambling addictions? It's never asked. That's all it is, bailing out gambling addicts, greedy gambling addicts, making all legal to loot the general public to pay for it all. And every bank on the planet's going to cash in on this and create more bubbles now that they're going to get the government to bail them out. That's how it works, quite simple. Because the ones you'd never trust in this world are the people you see with shirts and ties and business suits. That's the new uniform of modern Nazism. They all smile too, very, very nicely to you. That's a trait of the psychopath. They look you right in the eyes and make you think you're the only person alive in the world when they look at you and talk to you. And we never, ever learn, do we? Never learn. And the last thing the public will do is say no. Why? Because they need organization. It's impossible to create organization today because the other side have created so many different camps, all chasing all kinds of real and imaginary things. That is confusion. Your enemy is incapacitated. That's what you do when you're targeted. You're incapacitated. You cannot discern truth from fiction. I may have time for one caller. And there's Alex in Illinois. Are you there, Alex?
Yes, hello, Alan Watts. Thank you for taking my call. And I know there is like a couple of minutes left.
Yes.
So I'm not going to ask my question that I prepared, but I guess, Alan, that if you sold books on positive thinking and how to get rich overnight,
I know,
would donate to you more. And
yeah, or if I told them how to get out-of-body experiences and so on, or give them personal readings in the stars, or tell them where you find the aliens, you know?
Yeah, and I was going to quote Madame Blavatsky, who said that people are fascinated with the cult.
Yes.
And that's why such people as David Icke and Tex Mars are getting so much money from selling books on different occultic theories and so forth.
Yes. And there's also an agenda out there, too, because, as I say, they always give leaders to the public to follow. Mm-hmm. And that's part of PSYOPS warfare.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and also, you find, too, that that Weishaupt said the same thing, to entice people in, to be used as willing fools. He says we always give them a great mystery and fascination.
Hmm.
And it works every time.
Hmm. Alan, I've been reading Manly P. Hall's books on Mystic Christ and Secret Destiny of America.
Yeah.
All right, I hear the music coming.
We'll call in again perhaps on Friday if you can.
Yes, certainly do. Thank you so much, Alan Watts.
Thanks for calling. Well, from Hamish and myself in Ontario, Canada, where it's raining like hell since it sprayed us from yesterday mightily, it's good night to me, your God or your gods. Go with you. And if you have an out-of-body experience, stay where you are. Once you get there, don't come back here. It's much safer.